Welcome to But Why Though, the podcast, a roundtable conversation about all things pop culture. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm joined this week by Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
This week, we're going to talk about the summer movies for 2025 and kind of like what we're excited for, what trends we're seeing, why we think those trends are happening, and also like what we're not looking forward to a little bit, I think is worth getting into. So before we get into that, though, what have you been enjoying lately?
I mean, always for me, always Star Wars. That new DLC for Star Wars Outlaws came out where you get to hang out with Hondo Ohnaka. You remember Hondo Ohnaka from the Clone Wars and then Rebels. So a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun playing it. They added in a lot of content in the DLC. And it's great if you're coming off of Andor and you're like, I need more like scoundrel, rogue, spy stuff, go play Outlaws because
I do love that that game's whole marketing was like, it's a Star Wars game that's not about a Jedi. Like that that was the selling point, is like there's not a Skywalker or a lightsaber to be seen. Like I don't know that that's actually true through the game, but it's
I don't think I've seen one lightsaber, not even like a talk of a lightsaber. It's, I mean, there's lots of like High Republic mentions, especially
like that's fine.
Yeah, lots of High Republic mentions, lots of I mean, you get to go see Han Solo in Carbonite in Jabba's palace. So I mean, it's fun.
Like I'm fine with it brushing up against it. It's just that, you know, like everyone talks about, we want something that's not about the Skywalkers, that's not about this specific era. And it's like, it can be in the era and around the era. And, you know, like you said, like you see Han Solo and Carbonite. Okay, so now I know it grounds it in the timeline.
Yeah.
But I am ultimately just doing other stuff.
Exactly. And the best thing I think about it is K-Vess doesn't know any of this stuff, right? Like she's coming off of Canto Bite, living her whole life on Canto Bite and coming out. So that there's like a thing where Jabba does something to her and she's like, I'm going to go mess Jabba up. And then they're like, no, you don't go mess with Jabba. He's like, no, you tell me where Jabba is right now because I need to go see him. And like, that's just, like the Mandalorian, but in video game form where she's just learning the universe. She doesn't care whose people's names are. She doesn't know who Han Solo is.
They're like, they blew up the Death Star. And she's like, what's a Death Star?
Yeah. You know, and honestly, a bit of a spoiler for like the first part of the mission, but like the rebellion does her dirty. Like they literally leave her to die in your very first mission. So she's kind of like, fuck everybody.
Rightly so,
because they literally left her to die in the middle. They lied to her, they left her to die, and the only reason she gets out is like through her own like ingenuity, and it kind of like sets that as like kind of the tone, and it's open world-esque, so it's a lot of fun. And the DLC is out, all of the DLC is out, so like I don't think they're doing any more, so this is like the most complete game that you can go play right now.
Cool. I think for me, I have been, I missed it. Well, I watched part of it when it came out, but not all of it. I have been going back and rewatching the Jordan Peele Twilight Zone. I'm about halfway through season one. It's, you know, a little bit like hits and misses here and there. I think it sort of struggles with the longer format because it's 45 minute episodes, I think. And yeah, it's just not quite. So every now and then it feels like they're maybe stretching the premise a little bit or like padding for time. But ultimately, I have really been enjoying it. I love the Twilight Zone, like the original series. Can't say I'm super versed in the first two reboots. There was like one in the 80s, 90s, and then I think one in like 2003 with Forest Whitaker.
Yeah, I remember that.
Can't speak to those ones as much.
Yeah.
But
I've never been a big Twilight Zone guy, but I think in the sci-fi kind of like thing, I have, I think outside of Star Wars, I've been watching The Expanse. I know I'm like way behind on this, apparently. Dude, but I love The Expanse on Prime. It's so good.
Yeah.
It is so good.
I've heard good things. It's one that I also have not started and am behind on. But that's there. Yeah, there's just, I mean, that's a whole different episode of like how there's just too much stuff to watch, which I think we have actually done an episode about.
Yeah.
But yeah, Twilight Zone's been great. There's, I think one episode that I really appreciated. It's the second one in the series. It's an update of the original William Shatner episode. I think it's like Terror at 20,000 Feet, which is guys on a plane, looks out on the wing. There's like a monster ripping the like plane apart, basically, and no one believes him. And the updated version of that is this journalist gets on a plane and there's an MP3 player in the seat back in front of him. And on it is a podcast about a plane disappearance. And as he starts listening to it, he realizes it's about the flight that he's on.
Ooh, scary.
And then he starts like listening to it more and it's breaking down a timeline of the flight and he's seeing all these things happen and kind of like locking into like, oh, this isn't like a coincidence. Like this is somehow a thing out of time about how this plane is going to go missing. And it was, yeah, it was an interesting modernization. I was reading up just kind of on how it was received at the time. And I think one of the really interesting things that someone pointed out is that it's a good way to update that premise for modern flying. Because, I mean, flying in the 50s was completely different. You know, just not even like, oh, the seats were bigger and stuff, but like pre-9/11 flying was different.
Smoking on planes?
So yeah, like having someone cause any kind of a scene on a plane or acting paranoid plays out way differently now than it did then. And so yeah, seeing how it handled that, where it's like, we're going to take that old idea of something scary happening to someone on a plane and we're going to tweak it to make it work with how we all experience flying now. But yeah, I liked that one, and it's just cool to see them kind of playing around with it, keeping the series alive. I've heard season 2 hits a little bit different, I think for better, so we'll see how I feel when I get there. But yeah, Twilight Zone, was that 2019? Was that long ago?
Pre-pandemic? Yeah.
I mean, I think season 1 was pre-pandemic.
Yeah, I was in Austin still, so it had to be pre-pandemic. Also, like, related, unrelated, like, you mentioned I don't watch a lot of Twilight Zone, but you mentioned, like, the first one with Shatner with, like, the plane getting gripped and, like, no one, like, believes him. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that immediately made me think about Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo did a parody episode.
Yeah, right.
Of it,
like, they did
with the clown.
And I had to, like, Google it to make sure that I wasn't, like, imagining.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. But Johnny Bravo did a couple Twilight Zone episodes.
I had no idea that was that
the,
they had done
the kid who keeps
of that.
Using magic to put him in the cornfield, that episode of Johnny Bravo, also a Twilight Zone thing.
Yeah, okay, first of 3 parodies. I just looked it up. Yeah, I'm about to go back and watch Johnny Bravo now.
Johnny Bravo is good.
Yeah.
Ugh, so much smarter than I missed that.
Cool.
The
but
more
yeah, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, everyone go watch a little bit of Johnny Bravo. It was a good satire on masculinity.
Yes.
But yeah, where can people find you online?
Yeah, always everywhere at SuperReese93, SUPER. I don't know. You know, this is
you
same.
Can spell.
Yeah, I can spell.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much there, and then just writing for Bowido and stuff. I guess I technically did start a podcast with Stefani, my wife.
All right, tell me more about that.
So this is the Cheese Me. It's a Star Wars podcast where we're just gonna talk about different Star Wars stuff after she gets out of work and talk about the things that are going on. I think a lot of the stuff that I do on like my content is just like me walking around and like talking about different lore stuff for Star Wars, and a lot of it is just generated to inform my wife about stuff that she doesn't have enough time to kind of like go back and read. So I figure, why not just like do it in a setting where we get to talk in person. So doing a lot of that. We recorded our first episode this week where we just kind of like ranked every single thing on Disney Plus that is Star Wars, including the movies, TV shows, vintage collections, all of those things. Probably not where a lot of people would agree. I mean, we didn't even agree on our list. I think we only had one thing matching on our list, and that was like Attack of the Clones being at like being at like 20. So that was pretty much it. Everything else was pretty much different. So a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah, that sounds really cool. And the name of that one more time?
This is the Cheese Me. As a reference to This Is the Way, but also because we're both Mexican and like talking. Excuse me.
Yeah. All right. And you can find me on Blue Sky at Most Always Alex. I'm technically on Twitter, but I don't really use it. It's kind of just a placeholder.
Yeah,
so
it's just
come
there,
find
right?
me.
Every time I go over there, I'm just like, ugh, I'm going back to Threads.
Yeah. But let's get into it. Summer 2025. How, before we even get into like what's coming out, are you a summer movie person? Like, is that like a big season for you to go see stuff?
Yeah, typically. I think like, I mean, I guess we're past pandemic, but I think like pre-pandemic, like I was a commander level person at Draft House when I had a Draft House close to me. Like, we're in the movies almost every single week, especially during the summer. So yeah, I would like to class myself as a summer movie guy.
Yeah. I feel like summer movies for me are the ones where I'm like, I hate to like disparage any form of art, but I'm like, I know that these are not like the high art movies. These are the blockbusters. Mm. These are the, let's give people some entertainment. Like, you know, popcorn not that movies. Those movies aren't coming out, but you know, a lot of them are just like big action movies and fun sci-fi and all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do like that, you know, and it's a vibe. It's whatever. I'm not against summer movies. I'm just also very aware of like what kinds of movies to expect every season.
Yeah.
So yeah, when we had first thought of like, let's talk about summer movies, which I mean, this episode's going to be one part, like, let's just talk about what's coming out, and one part, like the analysis that we usually end up trying to do. But yeah, I found that it was a list from Rotten Tomato of highlighting just 40 movies that are coming out this summer. And so I went through and kind of made three different categories for them. There was, this is a remake. This is a, an original movie. This is a sequel. This is a remake, or this is like an existing IP. So there were like 15 original movies on this list of 40. And then the other 25 were either a remake, a sequel, or like adapting an existing IP, like a franchise, like Superman. Mm-hmm. It's part of a bigger thing. And technically it's a new start, but it, you know, it's an existing IP. Looking at the broader list, like going to Wikipedia, checking out the entire list of everything coming out, it's a little bit different of a picture. There is more stuff, but it's not things that are necessarily like huge titles that are getting pushed. How did you, like, we talked about this a little bit before recording, but yeah, the whole split of like original versus existing IPs, how did you feel about that? Like, did that track, is that a surprise, or are you just like
I think there's like more originals than I thought that there would be, but I think that there's just like a lot of remakes and a lot of existing properties that I just didn't think that we were ever going to have again, and especially not,
yeah,
you know, so many of them like all back to back, like Megan, 28 Weeks Later, Happy Gilmore is getting another movie.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting more Smurfs, we're getting Bad Guys too, like we're just getting so much. Freakier Friday is getting another thing. Like I just didn't think that we'd ever be getting all of these. Mm-hmm. Revisits or remakes or sequels.
Yeah,
it's coming off a time like where we have other stuff that we can, if we're gonna remake stuff, like, isn't there other stuff we can remake other than like Freaky Friday?
Yeah, and I mean, it's, and that one's interesting too, because it's, I don't know that the first movie really necessitated a sequel.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's, you know, every sequel, it's like, well, why are we telling another story? Why do we think there's more here? I mean, I remember seeing people online talking about whether or not Sinners should be turned into a cinematic universe. And having seen it, I get why people are like, there's clearly more to tell. But I also am not against that movie just existing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need more from that universe. I want Ryan Coogler to do more horror.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. Mm-hmm. I don't need, and I mean, that also goes back to like my brain increasingly just does not need everything to be connected.
Yeah, true. And I think the other big thing mentioning that, I think the other surprise for me is that there's lots of like horror and thriller stuff going on this summer.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, a lot. Like this feels like an October run, you know, in terms of like what's coming out. Not a whole lot of kid movies, doesn't seem like, doesn't,
yeah, I was surprised.
Not a whole lot of popcorn kind of like just go in and turn your brain off, like a lot of thrillers, a lot of dramas, a lot of, I don't know, I wouldn't say necessarily summer movie blockbuster as we kind of talked about at the start here.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, so let's talk about like what are we excited for. My first one through the season on the list that I saw is, I'm really looking forward to Friendship, which I think will be in theaters like later on the week, in the week that this airs. Which, have you seen the trailer for this one, or do you know anything about this?
No, I just read Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd, and that's all I need.
That's all you need to know. Yeah, yeah. Now, granted, haven't seen it, can't entirely say what it is. It feels to me from the trailer a little bit adjacent to, if you've seen the film Single White Female.
Nope.
So that is a movie where a woman gets a roommate through an ad, and then that roommate slowly tries to take over her life, like gets the same haircut, starts buying the same clothes, like
an insane
other person. Friendship is just a new neighbor meets existing neighbor, and they get really close, and then one of them just cuts it off, and the other one does not take it well, is what I gather from the trailer.
Okay.
So I'm excited for it. I think it looks insane. Love Tim Robinson, love Paul Rudd. Like, I think that's going to be really fun. And I think it goes back to your thing of like, oh, not a lot of like kid stuff. Like there's some stuff. There's a Pixar movie in there and all that, but this is definitely like an adult geared film, yeah. Which, yeah, I am all for that. Not everything needs to be family friendly. And I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think it's great seeing Tim Robinson get all of these opportunities outside of I Think You Should Leave.
Yeah.
You know, not that he hasn't been around for a while putting in the work in Hollywood, but yeah, it's just great to see him like getting more because yeah. I do think he's doing something pretty original compared to a lot of what's out there.
Yeah, I agree. I had that one on my list of exciting things too, just from the fact of like the two cast people.
Yes.
There. You know who's directing it?
I don't off the top of my head, but let me look that up. And while I do that, what is there one that you want to talk about that you're looking forward to?
I know that like we have a lot of remakes and sequels here, but I really am excited for Ballerina.
Okay.
Mainly because I think that it does what I've always kind of wanted from the John Wick universe, which is like more of the John Wick universe. Not that I needed more John Wick, because like let the man rest. How much more times are we going to throw him downstairs? Like, man, it's old. Mm-hmm. But the universe itself has lots of cool things to it that are adjacent to whatever we're doing when we're watching John Wick do what John Wick does. So I'm excited to see that one for sure. Might be in a minority here, but I am excited to see the How to Train Your Dragon.
That one I'm just not excited for because I really don't like live action remakes.
Yeah.
That's kind of my biggest gripe.
I watched the trailer for it just to see if I was going to want to go watch it in theaters. And it looks like they're doing the movie, like the cartoon.
Yeah. Thing, I saw,
which I think is like what you should do when if you're going to do a live action, just give me the thing with live action and like, maybe even,
I think
like,
I saw I someone know. Call it like How to Train Your Dragon in Unreal Engine. And I was like, oh yeah, that's not an unfair criticism.
Yeah. I'm excited to see like what they do with it. Like, is it gonna kill my sleep if it's bad? No, same way like yeah. The live action Lion King didn't ruin my childhood. Like it's fine. But I think if there's anyone that gets a live action, I want to see dragons in live. I like dragons. I like dragons in live action. That seems fun. More fun to me than like the Lilo and Stitch movie that I'm not excited about. So I think that it's just, I think there's something to be like, what, if we're going to do something in live action, like what are we going to do? And I think How to Train Your Dragon with how grand it is in its scope, that it mm-hmm. could translate well. Guy sounds like the kid. I don't know. It seems fun, more fun than Lilo and
honestly
Stitch.
I am a little sad that they didn't just bring Jay Baruchel in.
True.
He's too old. Sure,
yeah,
but like he's the perfect amount of gangly to play Hiccup.
yeah either that or maybe just like a but thing. But if they did bring him back, I would love to see them like do it after. So not even like a remake, just or an adaptation, just like what are they doing kind of after everything is done, after all the great cartoon series that they have. And you know, let him be gangly and like leading the Vikings to like the new era.
Also, I'm not gonna lie, I thought you said you said and or as two words. I heard and or, and I was like, are you about to pitch Diego Luna for Hiccup? Because that's a miscast that I would watch. I would be in the theaters opening night to see Diego Luna.
I'll watch Diego Luna teenager. Anything. So yeah, I'm with it.
But yeah, I think the other big one, or like some small ones I'm looking forward to, Final Destination Bloodlines. This does fall into the whole like remake sequel existing IP thing, but Final Destination movies are like, if you just want to watch people who sat down to figure out the most creative ways you might accidentally die in a freak accident, that's what those movies are, and that's what I'm there for. I'm not expecting a good movie. I'm just expecting to have fun, and I think that this one will be.
And I think that's one of those ones where we'll talk about this like a little bit later on, but I think like we mentioned, there aren't a whole, I don't think there's a whole lot of like popcorn movies like Final Destination there. I don't like horror and like, I'm of the millennial generation where I switch lanes when I see you know, semi-scary.
That was a PSA. Final Destination 2 scared off everyone from driving.
I don't want to get in a tanning bed ever. There's a lot of things that scar me for that movie. Will I go see it? For sure. I'm sure my wife will want to go see it. I'm sure we'll have a good time. That's the kind of like summer movie that I want, where I can just go in, turn my brain off, and then just eat some popcorn on a summer day. So I am excited for that one. I haven't, like, do I need to watch anything?
I don't think so. So you know the premise of Final Destination, just like if you avoid death, death comes for you.
Yeah.
And it will be very methodical and go in the order in which you and everyone else were supposed to die.
Yeah.
And if I remember right, the premise of this one is this old woman evaded death as a teenager. And now her entire family is what's at risk because none of them were supposed to exist.
That's insane. That's so many deaths.
That's a fun. I mean, literally the trailer is just one giant Rube Goldberg at a family barbecue where like grandpa gets hit in the face with a lawnmower at some point and like
okay, don't tell me no more. I need to be surprised.
I don't even know if that scene is in the movie or if they just like came up with this insane like what are all the things that could go wrong that would end in someone dying at a barbecue?
Oh, that comes out. It came out today as we're recording this.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. We might go see this tonight.
So hopefully it's good. But yeah, those are just fun ones. Other quick small ones. Bring Her Back. Not a small one, but I don't know enough about it to fully discuss it. But it is the guys who did Talk to Me. So we are again out of your category of films.
That's what I was trying to say, man. There's so many thrillers and horror movies coming out this summer. What's going on?
Yeah, Toxic Avenger. That's the other small one that like I don't know how you feel about Troma and just like making like trashy B horror movies like comedy satire.
I do like I do like that. Like all of Kevin Smith's like B horror garbage. Yeah, so, I love all that. That's so great.
Yeah, this is reviving like a franchise from the 80s that was just like absurd at the time. I'm sure if we watch it now, problematic. But Elijah Wood is working on it, and that guy is a little freak who loves freaky movies. And so I'm like, I think he's starring as the villain, and the Toxic Avenger is actually Peter Dinklage in this one.
Yeah, yeah. That so one I'm seemed like, good.
It, yeah, I'm excited for that one. I think it's fun. My big one that we'll talk about in a second is Superman. But what are some of your small ones that you're excited about?
I mean, I guess they're not technically small, but I'm excited for Fantastic Four. I'm loving everything that's coming out of it so far. I don't know how it's gonna get me. You've seen Thunderbolts, blah blah blah, the end credits, yada yada yada, all those things. But I'm excited for like something different. You know, I know that like everyone thinks that like the MCU is like on the decline. Mm-hmm. I haven't felt that, and I don't know how long. Like I'm having fun. I've had a lot of fun with Thunderbolts. I'm sure gonna have a lot of fun with Fantastic Four, but I think more than anything, the ensemble cast looks like they have a bunch of chemistry on screen. It looks like it's gonna be what it needs to be. It's gonna be like what the Fox version wasn't, which is what I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Does this movie what are the odds you think that this movie takes place in an alternate universe?
Very high, I think. I mean,
same, honestly.
The people who know more than I would will probably confirm this, but very high. I imagine like it's going to be them either coming to warn like the event, like the MCU Earth about, you know, their impending doom, or they escaped. I don't know, but almost certainly they're different dimension.
Because my thing with the Marvel movies that are set in the past is always like, well, why did none of the modern movies ever address that this happened? Yeah. Like, why is New York in Avengers getting destroyed kind of a surprise when the trailer of Fantastic Four shows New York getting attacked by shit? Like, it's that. That's what kind of the big thing that makes me think this is alternate universe. I also think that what Marvel is doing now, my guess, is how familiar are you with Marvel Ultimate Comics?
Fairly familiar.
Okay, so you know that eventually they just started collapsing universes and taking the best characters from them to shove into the main one.
Yeah.
And I really think that that's what they're going to start doing with their movies, is like anything that didn't play great, well, that was an alternate universe and it collapsed and we didn't bother to save them. And anything that people liked, that universe gets collapsed and gets folded into the main one.
Yeah. I think it's also just tough because like they don't have the MCU is never going to have what comics have, and that's like time to do the, especially now, because everyone wants everything to be as good as Avengers or as good as whatever, whatever. So I think it's hard for them to kind of have movies like Brave New World that kind of like an in-between one that still has like very, very strong character moments within it. If they do it this way, I think it's the smartest way for them to do it, because they don't have enough time to build all of these characters up for them to come back together, because I think the fandom is so like, we need to see the big net. We need to see the next Endgame already, but forget that it took us a long time to get there. So
it was a 20-year process basically. And I mean, not quite, but not far, maybe closer to 10 to 15.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long process. And if you don't do that, if you just shove them in there by just randomly, then we get a Justice League situation where you're just throwing in the best heroes just so they can fight the big bad. So I'm hoping that they, and we as like fans just remember, I know I've said this a couple of times, but like, we're watching comic book movies, right? So like, we need to like let things grow. Not everything is going to be the big spectacle, because if everything's the big spectacle, then nothing's the big spectacle. And I think that they've done it smartly enough where we know multiverse exists in the MCU, so nothing's crazy at this point, you know, if you do it in a way that like appreciates the thing. And I think having a whole movie where we really get to know the Fantastic Four is much better than them just showing up randomly.
Yes. Although I'm a little bit worried that that's what's going to exactly what's going to happen with X-Men when they get brought in, is that they're just going to get dropped on us.
Yeah. That's, I think X-Men, we'll see how that X-Men's plays out. Tough one. X-Men's definitely a tough one, but I think I love Pedro. I love Pedro Pascal. So anything he's in, I'm going to be here for. And Ben Grimm looks fantastic. I love him in all of his things. So I'm here for it. I think it's going to be great. And definitely the one I'm probably the most excited for this summer.
For sure. I think the one that I'm most excited for is another comic book movie, which this is going to transition right into talking about the trends that we're seeing. But I'm genuinely looking forward to the Superman movie.
You have me genuinely excited for the Superman movie.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be good, but it looks like a very earnest attempt at a character who I think is often, it's one of the characters that people are most confident they understand, but are usually not correct that they understand.
Can you like explain that a little bit more of like what you mean by that? Because I think that like everyone sort of like has Superman on their chest. Everyone like wears the Superman shirts, but I don't think.
I think a lot of people oversimplify the character, I guess, is maybe what I'm getting at of like, oh, he's a Boy Scout. He just does good stuff. He's overpowered, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, you know, overpowered depends on which comic you're reading. Sometimes absolutely, sometimes less so. But then also that, like, you know, his morality is a little bit more complicated. I'm not going to say grayer, because that's like Zack Snyder territory, and I think he did a really bad job making him a, you know, he did a bad job of trying to add moral complexity to that character. But I think for me, Superman sits in that Captain America category where there is a very surface level read of him that's not entirely wrong, but is not a complete picture. But that's what a lot of people run with. I think, you know, like with Captain America, you look at everyone's like, oh, like just a Boy Scout does what he's told, yada, yada, yada. And that's, you know, if you don't know the Nomad storyline, which I think a lot of people didn't until they did it in Infinity War, where they're like, oh, yeah, like there hits, like he hits a tipping point where he, you know, breaks off from the government and does his own thing because he recognizes that right and what the government tells you are not always the same thing.
Understandable.
I mean, in the comics, like that's that whole arc is the government tries to take control of Captain America because it's like, well, it's a title and a military position and yada, yada, yada. And he's like, cool, I retire. And then he turns around and asks Tony for a new shield. And it's like, I'm not done. I'm just done working for them.
So with that said, like when you're seeing the trailers and stuff, and we talked about this last time we talked, that I haven't really seen much of the trailers at all, but listening to you talk about the tone of it, seems like, yeah, this seems like the Superman that I remember.
It's hopeful.
Reading comics about.
It's got bright colors.
Yeah.
And which I know that was a Snyderverse hallmark, but like the fact that the suit is bright blue and bright red and that it doesn't shy away from the fact that it's a comic book movie. Again, no idea if it's going to be good. This could be like the swan song of comic book movies, that it's like the last
trailer's
really
got
good
you
one
again.
That we get.
Yeah.
Or that, like it could be an amazing trailer for a bad movie. Looking at you, Suicide Squad. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to that one. But it kind of does speak to that larger trend of so much of the summer is existing IPs and remakes. And I mean, so like, I mean, just taking a quick look, we are getting another Final Destination. We're getting Lilo and Stitch live action. We're getting another Mission Impossible, which that's a part two of an existing movie. I'm not going to fully count that. Another Karate Kid movie.
Yeah.
An expansion of the John Wick universe. Like all, you know, it's at least not John Wick 5. Not that I don't enjoy those movies, but like it's that half credit. And then we're getting the How to Train Your Dragon remake. We're getting 28 years later, which that one I also will give a half exception because it is the third movie after like how many years?
Yeah. 28 years.
But yeah, then we get, you know, we have Mithrigan 2.0, another Jurassic World, another Superman, another remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer. Like this summer is kind of stacked with Smurfs. Like
Bad Guys 2.
Happy Gilmore 2.
The Naked Gun.
I was surprised to see that nobody is getting a sequel. I didn't realize that they were gonna franchise that in any capacity.
Me either.
But yeah, it's just like we got a lot of stuff that we have technically already seen. And so like, why is this happening? Say it with me. Capitalism.
But is it capitalism? Like if no one goes to go see these movies, like is it worth it? Because I don't know anyone who's like, oh, I just can't wait to see I don't know. Like any like most of those movies you mentioned, is anyone talking about
totally
those?
Like, that's where I have to remind myself that like I and a number of my friends are not quote unquote normies. Like we're the people who are frustrated with this. But I think where I'm at is like Disney would not be sinking money into this if they didn't think it was going to sell tickets. Whether or not they believed in these things as like a piece of art, who's to say? But like from a money making perspective, like they have some confidence that audiences will pay for this.
Yeah, I think the big thing for me that I'm noticing, I mean, and this is probably like what we're dreading a little bit later, or maybe in here, maybe we can talk about like why.
I mean,
this
I think
is,
it all but, blends together. But, yeah.
Where's the original animation at this summer? I feel like there's like hardly any. Do you think that they're relegated to more streaming now? Is that what it is? Because we didn't even talk about like anything coming out on streaming services during the summer.
Because yeah, now I'm looking for animated movies through this list, and I see
Elio.
Well, so Don Don is getting that, but that's the first three episodes of season two strung together as a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we have Elio, and also Don Don, not a kid's property. I don't
definitely
think.
Not. Yeah, please don't take your kids to go see Don Don.
Yeah, we have Smurfs, which that one I think is that one actually committed to being animated, or is it another hybrid animated live action?
I didn't even know it was being made until we were doing this thing. Cause I thought we were done with Smurfs.
Oh no, they're never going away. They're also older than you realize.
They're super old. Yeah. Oh, Rihanna. Yeah, that's why we're getting more Smurfs because of Rihanna.
But yeah, there's just not a ton of animated stuff. And granted, again, that like that's just going off the Rotten Tomato list. I know that there's also the full list of like here's everything. I guess technically this list maybe Minecraft as a summer movie. It's not. It came out too early for that. That was April. But yeah, like it is interesting seeing how it's tilted, where it's like not necessarily as kid oriented as it could be. Not that those movies won't come out, but I do wonder if a lot of that stuff is on streaming because that's where kid audiences more often than not are. But yeah, I think that the big kid summer movie is Elio from Pixar, and then Lilo and Stitch live action. Which like if we're going to talk about things we're not looking forward to, I'm kind of afraid that it will turn out to be something people like. Not because I don't like Lilo and Stitch. I love Lilo and Stitch.
Same.
But I don't like live action remakes.
Yeah, and this one seems really weird, mainly just because, like, this is one of those ones where I'm like, this is tough, man. Because you can make a dragon look like whatever because it's a dragon. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what a dragon looks like. You can make a dragon look realistic. They've been doing it since Dragonheart back in, like, the 80s and 90s. Stitch still looks like an animated character from, like,
yeah, I mean, it's the
dude,
same issue when they said we're doing a live action Lion King, and I was like, no, you're not. You are doing a cartoon realism Lion King.
You're
animated realism. If you're going to do a live action adaptation, it should be of something that can be realistically live. You know, like did we need live action Snow White? No, but also it translates to live action a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, something like Lilo and Stitch, it's like we don't have context for aliens, and it's there is a whole lot of suspension of disbelief that that is a real thing that is in the room interacting with them.
Yeah. I agree. I'm even looking on like Wikipedia for what's coming out in 2025 for animated movies that are like new, and there's really not much that it's coming
interesting.
Out. Really not much. There is a,
it's,
I don't know, I need to read more about this, but there's an Animal Farm directed by Andy Serkis coming out in June.
I am fascinated to see what that,
I don't know what that is, but I'm in. Sign me up. But yeah, there's just really not a lot. And I don't know, I mean, and maybe because I don't have kids, and maybe that's why I don't, but I still like going, yeah, no, I still like going to the movies and watching animated movies. But compared to like The Wild Robot, I think it's like a, there's no Wild Robot or something like that coming out this summer.
Not that I'm seeing.
Which is kind of disappointing.
It is, because, yeah, I think animation is, it is wrong to isolate animated media to children.
Yeah, 100%.
We talked about that on the show a lot. Mm-hmm. Animation is a medium, not a genre. It tells you nothing about what the maturity of the content is. I mean, even Wild Robot, like, yeah, it's like a kid family movie or whatever. It deals with some, like, pretty heavy themes that I'm like, and, you know, kids media has often snuck that stuff in, and that could be its own thing of like just times that kids media goes really, really hard.
I just can't fathom or like think of a reason like why you wouldn't, because if the thing is capitalism, right, if we're trying to do capitalism, why are we doing the remakes over just, or if the thing is capitalism, shouldn't we be like trying to do more animated movies to get parents to bring their kids in to come see them?
My assumption, I mean, Disney will always put its flagship movies in theaters, but my assumption would be that a lot of this stuff is like, let's get it on streaming where we can have somebody pay $10 a month for their kid to watch their favorite movie. Which, you know, whether or not that works, I don't know. I don't have the breakdown of how often movies are bought on disc versus, you know, whatever. I know, like, my brother's kids watched the Mario movie and loved it, and he was like, cool, I will go buy the Blu-ray. Like, we are not going to, you know, tie ourselves to a streaming service so you guys can watch your favorite thing. Like, there's a much easier way to do this. But yeah, I think it, again, I want to blame the capitalism of it, because I do think that it's that they assume there is going to be some amount of return. And that doesn't mean that things won't flop. Like, I'm also, as much as I kind of want Lilo and Stitch to flop so we stop doing live action remakes, I also don't want Superman to flop because I want that character to have a good movie.
Yeah. It's the hard thing, right? Because like, I mean, I can see that. I can see that too, right? Like, I don't want the ballerina movie to flop. I don't think it will, but like, I would love more of the stuff in that universe.
Yeah.
I don't want, what else was on here that I don't want? I don't want How to Train Your Dragon to flop, because I think it's like a great series that could benefit from having like real life dragons in it. I think it's it lends to that. But I don't think, I think we just gotta be more strategic about what we're making live at. Like, I feel like they're just going through what was the most popular animated movie for millennials, and then of course they're gonna want to see them as live action, and it just doesn't always work that way. And I would much rather have, I think, because you talk about like the average person, you know, not being, you know, like us here talking about this in depth, one of the things that doesn't make sense to me is that I feel like if you took an average person and you're like, hey, do you want to see a live action Lilo and Stitch or another original property to the kin of Wild Robot that's like totally new? And I feel like most people would pick the animated style of a movie of that quality over Lilo and Stitch in live action.
There's that whole conversation around remakes of, I mean, if you're going to transition media, like going animated to live action, what are you adding? And if you're doing live action to live action for a remake, still the question stands, what are you adding? Like, what's the new take here? Why do you, because when you watch Lilo and Stitch, the animated version, it's good. It's fine. It holds up. It visually, it's great. You don't need to do it again. And I think that that's kind of where I get a little frustrated with remakes and seeing how many we're getting this summer and you know, sequels and all that stuff of, Are we just playing in a comfortable area because the universe is already built and we can kind of phone it in for the story part, or that the story part's the only part we have to work on? And that could also be it. Like, it's, you know, there's a million reasons you could theorize. Like, I, in my head, there's this conspiracy theory that part of why we're getting so much that's in familiar content is because it's an easier way to kind of like wedge yourself in as comfort media for someone, or like something that they're going to watch again and again. Whereas it used to be like, oh, I saw that movie in theaters and a year later I was able to buy it on VHS and now I watch it when I'm homesick or when I'm bored or whatever. Yeah. And now it's a comfort media, but now it's like, if we do something that you already know, you're more likely to like it off the bat, is I think the bet that they're going with.
Like, you're going to go see it anyway. So
yeah. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it kind of feels that way where it's like, I think you're just doing this cause you see it as a guaranteed sale. Which is
looking
frustrating.
Looking at you, Adam Sandler, like, you don't need to go make Happy Gilmore 2, man. What are we doing in a second Happy Gilmore? And I say this as someone who loves the first Happy. I think Happy Gilmore is one of his best Adam Sandler movies. What is he going to do?
I don't know that movie needs anything more.
Yeah, what does it need more of? I don't know.
The highest hope I can have for that movie is that we get a meta commentary of Adam Sandler reflecting on his career.
Yes, that would be fantastic and something I think you can definitely do. Looking at some other stuff here that that might be newer, so we can kind of get away from the remake stuff. Americana,
I know the premise of it. I have not seen like anything beyond a poster, I'm excited for it. It seems fun. Like, I like the idea.
Yeah. A gallery of dynamic characters clash over the possession of a rare Native American artifact. Okay, wait, maybe now I'm not excited.
What made you not excited in there?
Sydney Sweeney's not like what are we doing with Native American artifacts with like this white woman?
Oh yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? After the artifact falls onto the black market, a shy waitress with big dreams, Sydney Sweeney teams up with the lovelorn military veteran Paul Walter Hauser to gain possession, putting them in the crosshairs of ruthless criminal. Okay, maybe not. Maybe now I'm not that excited. We just have a bunch of antique dealers trying to get some Native American stuff.
Oh, I think when I saw the description, I missed the word Native in there, and I just thought it was like, oh, here's this cool thing that we all want. And I was like, sure, like let's make a what was that dumb reality show where people bid on storage units? Storage Wars. I was like, if this is gonna be Storage Wars as an action adventure movie, I'm in. Like, why not? But yeah, the Native angle to it feels kind
of
gross.
Just to point of like, I don't really watch trailers all that much. I clicked around in this trailer. The first thing I click on is this white boy with a Native American headdress and like a arrow in his back. Like why?
Oh, yeah, I got a lot of questions about that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know about that one. Maybe we should just do remakes forever. Maybe, or you know what it is? We're not giving enough chance to people like, you know, Ryan Coogler to do more stuff. Not like Ryan Coogler, right? But like, instead of asking for these studios to do new projects, maybe focusing on like directors and like having them do more summer blockbuster stuff. And maybe that's what it is. I feel like a lot of them are coming off of like big movies. A lot of like the ones you would want to see do other things are coming off a bunch of movies right now. So maybe we just like missed this summer to have the opportunity.
Could be. And I still don't even know where we are on the timeline of seeing the fallout from the writer's strike.
True. Pandemic too, right? Like people aren't going to the movies as much.
Yeah. There's going to be a drought in here. And I'm wondering, I'm like, are we still in that? Are we starting it now? It's an interesting slate of summer movies. I think the thing that surprised me to see was like a good amount of horror.
Yeah.
Not a ton of stuff aimed at kids, which I'm not against it. Like it has its place. And, you know, like I love Sonic the Hedgehog too. But seeing what feels like a diverse slate of movies for the summer season, but then seeing that like intermixed with that is a lot of remakes. But it's also, I think that's kind of maybe the strength of this summer is that it's sort of a choose your own adventure.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. It feels like if you're going to the movies, like you can go to the movies this summer, kind of like to what we thought about, like what is a summer movie to start of this is that, you know, blockbuster popcorn movie, turn your brain off, go watch it. And it doesn't seem like there's like a lot of that this summer.
You can go watch Superman. You can go watch Fantastic Four. Or you can go watch Bring Her Back, the horror movie. Like you can go watch Nobody 2, which is, you know, it's a sequel, but it's still like something different than what we've been getting in the same way that Nobody was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just I'm.
Yeah, I'm not excited.
I want to be more excited.
I want more animation, yes. And I'm worried about the comic book discourse around Superman.
Tell me more about that, because I don't disagree, but I want to hear your thoughts on it.
There was discourse from the moment the poster showed up, right? Mm. And I think that the discourse makes it so that, I mean, for people who for people who aren't doing podcasts and, you know, aren't journalists and don't care that much about this stuff, I think it easy for them to go watch this movie. But if you're like online and you have to like, if Alex says he loves this movie and a certain part of the fandom hates it, he's going to get jumped on Blue Sky for saying something, right? And that's just what I feel like this is going to be. And I don't know why I feel like DC movies for some reason bring that out more than like the MCU does. And I can already feel it kind of like bubbling up that like people are either really, really excited for this movie or they think it's going to be like the most dog shit Superman movie ever. Because again, I think to your point, they don't really understand the character. And that's a discourse that I'm like it's going to be a lot of like, this was dumb in Superman. And then people who actually care about Superman have to be like, hey, no, like, look at this comic that does this, this, and this. And they'll be like, oh, no, who cares? Blah, blah, blah. Zack Snyder, Superman was the best Superman. And it's just going to be a whole bunch of discourse, specifically because it's Superman and because it's DC.
Yeah.
I don't think Fantastic Four is going to get nearly as much as that comparatively, I think is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think it's DC brings out a certain type of fan. And a certain type of discourse and expertise and, you know, people who, and I granted, you know, I did it at the top of the episode saying, I think it's a misunderstood character, but like, yeah, people claiming like they have the real read on whoever. And like, I get it. You know, you have the version that you grew up with and that you're familiar with, but I think part of the problem with comic book discourse is that there is basically every personality for every character. Like, there are eras of Peter Parker where he's kind of a jerk. There's eras where he doesn't have his, like, usual poor people problems. Like, it's all over the place. So you can't say, this is true, this is right, this is real. Everybody changes. Everybody's got something going on. I think it's more like it's the broad strokes that when those get missed, you kind of miss it. Like, Zack Snyder's Superman tried to bring in the hope angle a little bit, but not as hard as it should have been brought in. And not in a way that was fully believable. I think this one is trying a lot harder to show, to focus on the man part of Superman. That like,
yeah, they gave him a dog. They gave him man's best friend in this one. I mean, I can't fathom. I never thought we'd see Crypto in live action.
Yeah, that honestly surprised me. I'm here for it. I love it. I guess I just what I want is for people to let these things kind of exist and I'm with you of dreading the discourse. I don't want to have to defend or explain what I thought about this movie.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger thing, right? Because I'm not going to engage in any of this discourse, but I hate for like my friends who actually like Superman and they like who are going to have to deal with that. I think that's the thing that's going to be annoying for me is like watching like my friends have to defend them getting attacked by stuff because I deal with that stuff all the time
Star Wars has an equal toxicity to it. So I think when you say discourse is what we're not looking forward to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no Star Wars stuff going on this summer, so there should be no discourse, hopefully, fingers crossed, and we can just like I can just enjoy Star Wars without getting yelled at for it. I say that, but then I said renew the acolyte. I said renew the acolyte please on Threads, and then half the things were like, this show was sucked, and the other, or like a quarter of it was like, this show sucked. The other quarter of it was like, Andor so much better than this. And the other quarter was like, just give Tony Gilroy do it. And then the rest of it was like, oh, the show was great. So that discourse I'm excited to get away from, and I'll take Fantastic Four discourse over Star Wars discourse over Superman discourse. Cause I don't think there'll be a whole lot with the Fantastic Four one.
I think I'm excited for Fantastic Four discourse only because if ever there was something where everyone knows the name and no one really knows anything else.
Yeah.
It's the Fantastic Four,
you know, and then with Marvel Rivals coming up, you know, I think it's a really fun time. I think to be like a, you know, I'm not like a Marvel versus DC person. I think they're all fucking superheroes. It's all the same shit to me in my head. But like Marvel specifically right now, I think is in a really cool spot because of Marvel Rivals, because of Fantastic Four, because of how big the Fantastic Four characters are.
Yes.
Fantastic Four characters are in Marvel Rivals right now. We're going to see that movie break some records, I think.
Do you think that was a marketing ploy by Disney to be like, hey, make these characters really useful in your game so that people want to go see the movie?
I don't think so, because then that would like require them to like be really backdoorsy with like China and stuff, because it's like a Chinese developer, and it just seems
oh interesting
seems too much outside of their breadth of to do
I
it.
Just I could definitely see a company being like, yeah, pump this character, like make him a little bit OP but not enough that the people demand a nerf, because
it was just that they were like the first characters added into the game, so it was like you had a shitload of characters, over 30 characters already. It's like, oh, mm-hmm. we're gonna do these two of the Fantastic Four in this first season, okay. two of the Fantastic Four in the other season. So like they're the newest characters in the game right now. And of gotcha. Course, like Sue Storm is.
So it could just really be their introduction that yeah, was kind of like the marketing ploy.
Yeah, because they also kind of like just came in to kind of like save the day thing.
Yeah.
Too. Right. But you know, I think it's just kind of plug in for, man, am I going to go reinstall Marvel Rivals? I haven't played in so long. The game's addicting. But even like going through like New York in that game is fun, because you go from like the Reed Richards building to like the Tony Stark building, and you're actually like going mm-hmm. through the city, and you're like, oh yeah, this is like super interconnected. Yeah. And that's like the Marvel that I'm excited to see, is like when it's super, super interconnected gotcha. In a way that makes sense. And I think that's going to alleviate some of that discourse that I think is kind of okay. going away. I think Thunderbolts, I think the pressure's off Marvel right now. And I think all the pressure right now is on DC to for the Superman movie to be good, which is going to create yeah. the discourse.
Yes, and honestly, my impression is that at this point, if people were questioning getting off the Marvel train, they are off it already, and so yeah. the discourse is not coming in as strong. But yeah. I do think, yeah, with a new Superman movie, there's a whole new chance for people to get up in arms about freaking comic book adaptations. Like, it's not that serious.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited for it. I want it to be good. I want it to be good, because I know it being good will make like the bad people sad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like Snyderverse people are going to be sad if this is good, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, the people who campaigned for a 4-hour black and white cut of a movie that was only moderately better than its bad short color version.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't even know if I can say it was moderately better. I think the length of it maybe obfuscated the problems with it by making it a 4-hour film. I watched it literally one time like 6 years ago when we reviewed it.
Have
you watched the Snyder Cut since then?
I watched the Snyder Cut with a bunch of friends, and we all got like super trashed and like watched it and did like brunch and stuff, and we're doing the high pitched song noises the entire time. We made a giant meme out of it. It was not
okay. That's fun.
I can see like where it could have been better, but then it just makes me more angry that they just didn't like go that route. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
But yeah,
I mean, that's the issue, is it's that you see the wasted potential. But anyway, bringing things back around. Any final thoughts on this slate of summer movies and everything that's coming out?
Yeah.
Or any of the trends that you're seeing?
Yeah, I was trying to think about, you know, like why we're feeling so not like underwhelmed. I wouldn't say underwhelmed is like the right word. I think we're both excited for like movies that are coming out.
But we both have this like, it's fine.
Yeah. And I think it's because that we were just so used to having like really good summer movies. Right, like I'm just going through like a Rotten Tomatoes list. Summer movies: E.T., Mad Max Fury Road, Inside Out, Alien, Up, Finding Nemo, Dark Knight, Star Trek, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Jaws, Iron Man 2008, Ratatouille. Like, so many good things have come out during the summer, and it just doesn't feel like there's, and I think all of those had hype before they came out. So I think
definitely
it doesn't feel like we're talking about, oh, you can't wait to go see this summer, because it's really just Superman, yeah, it's Fantastic hard Four, really.
It's hard to be pumped when you know Hollywood can hit a lot harder.
Yeah, you know Jaws exists, and you're just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I do think there's still some good stuff coming out. I'm looking forward to those good things. I don't know that this is going to be a summer where I am in the theater like every week.
That's kind of
the bummer for me. Like, I do, like, I love movies, I like going to the theater, but I don't know that this summer is going to do it for me, which is, I mean, it's fine. I think it's part of that. It's kind of the trend. Like, it's,
then what else are you going to go do? You're probably going to go catch up on the shows that you've missed, because there's too much shows on TV right now anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You might go play some video games, go listen to some live music. You know, there's other stuff.
Yeah. Totally. My advice for the listeners at home is like, look up what's coming out and see what you want to see. And like, just again, choose your own adventure. Like, there's some cool stuff. There's some dumb stuff. There's some stuff that's not going to be for you. I don't think it's going to be necessarily a horrible movie season. I just don't think it's going to be a great one. And that's kind of like my final word on it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right there with you. Right there with you. I'm probably going to really like what I see, but I'm probably not going to see anything I don't like, because I'm not going to go see it.
Yeah. Does that make sense? You can kind of like gauge, is this for me or is this going to be,
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that does it for this week. If you listening at home want more, we do have it. ButWhy Though is a whole website. We are also on Blue Sky at ButWhyThough.net, and you can donate to the site or subscribe to our newsletter, which is free at ButWhyThough.net/support. Everything you give goes towards keeping the site running, paying our writers, all that good stuff. It's just very helpful. Anything you guys can give, we appreciate it. Adrian, thank you for joining me. It was good to talk about summer movies, find some things to be excited about. And thank you at home for listening. We will see you next week.